How many of you saw the message title on the sign out front? The 12 Commandments. That's the title of the message today. This is not about Moses tripping and falling, coming down the mountain and broke two of them off, and now there's only 10. Okay, that's, somebody was alluding to that earlier. But are you ready for God's Word this morning? All right, go to Exodus. Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. We were not brought out of the land of Egypt, but if you're saved this morning, you have been brought out of the house of bondage. And it is free from sin that the Lord has delivered us to. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. In a Supreme Court decision back in 1980, our nation, for all practical purposes, kicked God out of our public school system, and then similar moves were made on our courthouses and other public institutions. The most well-known document outlining the rules of right and wrong regarding moral and social conduct and to whom we are ultimately accountable, that document was banned from display in our government and publicly funded institutions. In the 1980 Stone versus Graham Supreme Court ruling, we read as follows. The preeminent purpose for the posting the Ten Commandments on schoolroom walls is plainly religious in nature. The Ten Commandments are undeniably a sacred text in the Jewish and Christian faiths, and no legislative recitation of a supposed secular purpose can bind us to that fact. The commandments do not confine themselves to arguably secular matters such as honoring one's parents, killing or murder, adultery, stealing, false witness, and covetousness. Rather, the first part of the commandments concerns the religious duties of believers, worshiping the Lord God alone, avoiding idolatry, not using the Lord's name in vain, and observing the Sabbath day. There is certainly no question as to whether the behavior of those educated in our public systems has improved or has worsened since this ruling. I don't remember school shootings before in 1980 like we've had them since, and numerous other degradings that have taken place. Also to be noted is that everything the Supreme Court ruling says, with the exception of the first sentence, is true. Now, that first sentence says that the preeminent purpose for posting them is plainly religious in nature, And it may be noted by anyone who's observing that there are many non-religious reasons to post the Ten Commandments, and there are many non-religious people who would like to have them posted in our schools as well. In an Anti-Defamation League article supporting the court's decision, the following statement was also made. That statement says that all of the court's decisions banning government support for religious activity have rested on the First Amendment's requirement of separation of church and state. Now, that is true. All of the court's decisions in this regard have rested on that premise. There is, however, a major problem with this premise. And that problem is that the First Amendment does not mention nor require any such separation of church and state. Let me read to you the First Amendment of our Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The First Amendment does not take a lawyer to decipher. It was added to our Constitution as the first of 10 amendments known as the Bill of Rights on December 15, 1791. As anyone can clearly read, the First Amendment simply restricts Congress from making certain laws. It says, Congress shall make no law. And then we are given the list, six of them, of the kinds of laws that Congress is restricted from making. It's very simple to understand. Congress shall make no law respecting, which means in regard to, an establishment of religion. Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of the press. Congress shall make no law abridging the right of the people peaceably to assemble. And Congress shall make no law abridging the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances. There are six types of laws that Congress is specifically restricted from making. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is all the First Amendment says. Even if Congress were to pass a law requiring this most well-known of all lists of proper rules for moral and social conduct to be hung in all of our schools and hung in all of our public institutions, this would not violate the First Amendment because it does not constitute the establishment of a religion. And that's all it says. There exists no such requirement of separation of church and state in the First Amendment or anywhere else in our Constitution at all. I looked up the term respecting. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. I didn't look it up in the Webster's Dictionary because the Webster's Dictionary didn't exist in 1791. I looked it up in the Johnson's English Dictionary that was published in 1755, and I also looked it up in the Oxford Dictionary, which was published in its early days back then. And it simply means in regard to. Congress shall make no law in regard to the establishing of a religion. What you have witnessed is one of the devil's favorite tricks. He uses it all the time, and he's very, very good at it. That is, perpetuating an argument based on the ignorant assumption of a premise that is false. It's like asking John, John, have you stopped beating your wife? Well, you know, some of you have been asked a question like that in your life before, and it's a little confusing to answer. You know, John, God bless him, his answer doesn't really matter much. If he says yes, he's in trouble. If he says no, he's in trouble. You see, you could have 1,000 discussions on John's right to beat or not to beat his wife, or the level of the severity of the beating, or the frequency of the beating, or how many of the victim's rights are violated by the beating. You could even pass a law specifically prohibiting John from beating his wife. John's reputation is now ruined. He's now branded as a bully. He's been the subject of much gossip and shameful discussion and slander. Even his wife is mad at him until she remembers, oh, wait a minute, John never laid a hand on me. And then she finally figures it out. Satan sets forth a lie. Usually, it's a partial truth with a big fat lie hidden right in the middle of it somewhere. Then he gets it repeated so many times that the general population accepts it as truth just because they have heard it so much. How many times have you heard of the separation of church and state? You ever heard of that term? You ever heard of that term a lot? Well, you're getting ready to hear it a lot more because the Supreme Court is now undertaking to decide the issue nationally of gay marriage. So you're going to hear about the so-called separation of church and state, but at least this handful of people are going to know that it's not in our Constitution anywhere at all. This is exactly the same style of evil that has been perpetuated upon would-be believers in regard to the purpose of these Ten Commandments that we read about, God's Ten Commandments. Now, there are, of course, just for your information's sake, and I'm not going to go turn to all the passages and read all these dozens of them, but there are many, many more than these Ten Commandments in the Bible, very specifically. Jesus was asked, which are the greatest of the commandments in the law of God? Jesus replied by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and Leviticus 19, verse 18. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul and with all thy might. And Leviticus 19, 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. And then the last half of it being the commandment, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. This event is recorded in Matthew 22:36, and this young man comes and he says in verse number 36, Master, which is the great or greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he quotes Leviticus 19:18. And then he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Satan has perpetuated a very well-crafted lie, and it is the most well-known and widely accepted religious premise on our planet today. He has phrased this lie in many ways, usually does it in the form of a question. One of those ways that he forms this question is to ask, does your good outweigh your bad? Does your good outweigh your bad? How many of you have ever heard of this idea of does your good outweigh your bad? You ever heard of that? Well, that is a very widely accepted premise in the religious world today. How many of your grandmothers and grandfathers and uncles and aunts have grown old and maybe checked out of this world saying, well, I believe that if I'm a good person and I try to keep the commandments, I'm going to be okay. I just believe if I do that, I'll be okay. You ever heard anybody say something similar to that? Well, Grandma, you got Santa confused with Jesus here, is the problem. Jesus never said what Santa said. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be what? Good for goodness sake. Jesus has a different message than that. You see, Satan loves to play you. You ever been played? Somebody says he played you like a fiddle. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent, and we know who that was. The Bible says that old serpent, the devil. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, and this is a question. He said, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He knew what God said. He knew exactly what God said, that there was only one tree in the garden that she was not allowed to eat of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we all know how that ended, don't we? As a matter of fact, we are all the product of how that ended, the truth be known. Don't get into a battle of wits with the devil or with his crowd, because unless you know your Bible, you're unarmed when it comes to him. We see the evidence of this well-crafted lie all throughout the Scriptures. I'll give you a couple of examples. There are many. In Acts, Paul is preaching to Jewish men who were convinced that they could be justified before God by keeping God's commandments. And here is what Paul preached unto them. He said in verse 38 of chapter 13, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, and he's talking about Jesus here, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. And then he informs them, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You can't be justified, he told them, by keeping the commandments. In Matthew 19, a young man, probably a Pharisee or one in training, came to Jesus, continuing a discussion that he had no doubt been having with his peers. And so he comes to Jesus, and it says in verse 16 of Matthew 19, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Well, thanks to Satan's well-crafted lie, he is asking the wrong question. Let me ask you, how are you going to get a right answer to a wrong question? You might want to kick that around a little while and see if that comes out right. The right question goes more like the one that was asked to Paul and Silas by the Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas were thrown into prison for preaching the gospel, and they kept right on preaching the gospel when they were put in jail. And they're singing praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And God sends an earthquake, and he breaks everybody's bands, and Paul is set free, and the doors are open, and everybody's free to leave, and the jailer is about to kill himself because a Roman that lets his prisoners get away is a death sentence to him and not a quick one at that. And so he brought them out. Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we're still here. And then when he brought them out, he had this question. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, that's a little bit different than the young Pharisee that says, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Satan loves to manipulate the truth, and he really specializes in presenting just part of it. He loves to do this. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And I really want you to pay attention, because you're going to swear I'm teaching false doctrine unless you really pay attention. Okay? Have your attention? It is possible, in theory, for you to do what it takes to be saved by keeping the commandments. I know it's quiet. I know you don't hear this much. It's possible, in theory, for you to do what it takes to be saved by keeping the commandments. Jesus stated this fact very plainly in Matthew 19. Here's what he said. He told the young Pharisee this. He said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. So he's really putting him on the pages to think about who's good and who's not. He says, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. There it is, right in front of you. That's what Jesus said. And the young man answered to the Lord, which ones? So here you can see the lie that this young man had bought into. He's thinking, surely, if I keep enough of these commandments, God will accept me. I'm just not sure which ones. The fact is also stated in God's law as well. Let me read it to you from Leviticus 19, verse 37. Now, Jesus could have just quoted him the law, and it would have answered his question. I think you'll see the answer right here as we read it. God says, therefore you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. Now, that kind of takes care of which ones, doesn't it? Instead, Jesus quoted him commandments number 6, number 7, number 8, number 9, and number 10, and then quoted him commandment number 2 of the great commandments, which is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Yes, you can receive eternal life by keeping the commandments. All you have to do is from the time that you know right from wrong, you're somewhere about this tall right there, right in there somewhere, you know, right, I'm not sure. We refer to it as the age of accountability, and it's different, I'm sure, for everyone, and I can't prove where that time is, but you know that there was a time come that you knew right from wrong, and guess what? You chose. But all you have to do is from the time that you know right from wrong, that is from your youth up, keep all of God's commandments, not just this, not just the 10 or the 12, but all of them, just like we read in Leviticus 19 and verse 37. It's exactly the same thing that we're told in Deuteronomy 6:25. And it shall be our righteousness. Righteousness is what it takes to go to heaven. We believers have received the righteousness of God as a free gift when we put our trust in Jesus, who took our place and our sins upon himself on Calvary. But it says, it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do what? All these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. So that's it. All you have to do is from the time that you know right from wrong, keep every one of God's commandments and never break one till the time you die, and you got heaven secured no matter what. Piece of cake, right? In theory, it is possible for a person to go to heaven by keeping the commandments. Now, why did Jesus quote the young Pharisee these particular commandments? Didn't you ever wonder about that? Why didn't he just tell him, that doesn't work because you've already sinned? No, here's what he said. He said, you shall not murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your father and mother, love your neighbors yourself, and so on. Now, why did Jesus tell him that? We know the answer from Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Here's the answer. Now, we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. You're either in Christ or you're under the law. One of those two places. If you've trusted Christ to save you from your sin, you're in Christ. If you haven't, you're under the law. You need to know that. It saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped. I think that is, if you put that in modern English, that means shut up. Quit telling God how good you are. And all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, based on the fact that we've all sinned, which is what he just got through telling us in Romans chapter 3, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So why is Jesus quoting him these laws? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, it apparently didn't work very well because this young man said, I've kept all those. Had he murdered? I probably not murdered anybody. Maybe not. Had he committed adultery? Well, he was young, so possibly not. Had he stolen? He was rich, so he was likely from an inheritance because of his youth, and so he probably had no need to steal. Did he lie? Well, you could debate that one, but maybe not. Maybe he might have even honored his father and mother. But did he love others as himself? Well, let me ask you. If Jesus called you to sell what you have, and this is what Jesus, I didn't read it, but this is what Jesus told him. If Jesus called you to sell what you have and come follow him, would you go with Jesus and preach the gospel to the lost if he called you to do it? He does call men to do that, you know. He called me to do that. He's called many to do that. If Jesus called you to sell what you have and come follow him and preach the gospel to the lost and give your life to that, would you do it? Well, you're debating that, but let me just tell you this. If you loved others as yourself, you would. If you loved others as you do yourself, there wouldn't even be a question about it. It would be a no-brainer. It's already decided because you love others as yourself. And this young man replies to the Lord, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." I guess that tells us about the lying thing part or not, if he's lied, because if he had never told one before, he sure told a whopper right there. I guess you've figured out now that you've probably already blown it, right? Haven't kept the commandments since you knew right from wrong? Well, just how good have you been doing at keeping God's commandments? Let's go there for a minute. Now, there are many other commandments besides the 12. But let's just look at these 12. A lot of others. We know already, and I've seen your faces, and I know that you've already admitted this, that you have not loved God with all your heart, have you? No, you haven't. And I also know that you have not loved your neighbor as yourself. Oh, you may have at times, but that's not what it's talking about, is it? So that's two down right now. Let's look at this other one. Thou shalt, that's the first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Have you ever put anything in priority above worshiping God? Oops. Kind of guilty there, aren't we? How about the next? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Where's Jesus? Yeah? Right hand of the Father in heaven above. Or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Have you ever made yourself some pictures or some statues or of Jesus or of angels or of saints or of the devil? Or have you ever bowed down before any of these? Maybe you were in a religious place and there was a statue of Jesus on a cross and you were bowed down before that thing. Any of those ever happen to you? Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain. Have you ever used the names of the Lord in vain? You ever cussed with the name of the Lord on your lips? You ever said things about God that you didn't mean? Same thing. We're having a hard time finding a good one here, aren't we? Have you ever worked on Saturday? Have you always honored your father and mother and obeyed what they told you to do? You didn't do that right either? Thou shalt not kill. That word means murder. Have you ever murdered anyone? Finally, one I haven't broken here. Well, wait a minute. You sure about that? 1 John 3:15 says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." Have you ever committed adultery? Have you ever lied? Have you stolen? Have you coveted that which belongs to someone else? Well, guess what, Grandma? Even if God did grade on a curve, even if God did allow your good to outweigh your bad, which He does not, y'all get that? Even if He did, you're not doing so well, are you? So much for your good outweighing your bad. So much for, well, if I try to keep the commandments. So what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? You have two choices. You can go the route of this young man that came to Jesus saying, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" It says, but when the young man heard that saying, Jesus said, "If you're perfect, go sell what you have, come follow me. Give it to the poor and come with me." It says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You can be like the young Pharisee and you can go away sorrowing. And you will go away sorrowing for eternity in a place that wasn't even prepared for you, a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Or you can allow the law, the Ten Commandments, the Two Commandments, and all the other commandments, you can allow the law to fulfill its purpose by revealing to you that you are guilty before God, that you are an unworthy sinner who desperately needs a Savior. And you can respond by placing your trust in Jesus, who is good, who is God manifest in the flesh, who died in your place and with His own blood paid for all of your sins. Sins you couldn't do anything about. Sins that aren't going to go away because you try to keep a commandment or two or three. And the truth be known, you don't even do that, do you? It's very difficult to find even one that we've kept. So, Jesus said that if you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, it's worded a couple of different ways, comes out the same, and you love your neighbor as yourself, if you do that, and we understand that no one has except Jesus, but if you do that, He says that you have fulfilled all the law and the commandments. He said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. Everything the prophets preach that we should do, everything the commandments say that we should do, if we got those two things done, we've fulfilled them all. Thus, if you have not loved God with all your heart, and you have not loved your neighbor as yourself, what then have you broken? If by doing those two things you've kept them all, what have you broken when you didn't do those two things? This is exactly why you read in James chapter 2, verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point." Now wait a minute. That doesn't say who shall find one point in the whole law they have kept. Okay, we couldn't hardly do that. He said, whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one point, he is guilty of all. The law is there to show us that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. Has the law fulfilled its purpose in you? Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you understand that you're not going to make it without Jesus? Do you understand that? What's it going to be? Now, we're kind of light on attendance here today, but in a crowd this size, It's pretty hard to believe that everybody here, well, the odds are against it, that everybody here has placed their trust in Jesus to save them from their sins. You understand? That's the fact of the matter. You're simply not going to make it on your own. Do you understand that you need Jesus desperately? You're just not going to make it without him. You've already blown it. You can't go back and undo it. And even if you could go back, you'd mess it up worse the second time than you did the first time. Because now you have practice at messing it up, right? There's no way that you're going to be able to do one solitary thing about your condition. You must place your trust in Jesus and accept the free gift. Without it, you have no hope. Without it, you will spend eternity separated from God, receiving what we all deserve, the penalty of our sins, the second death. But Jesus loves you, folks. He loves you like nobody has ever loved you. He loved you enough to give his life for you. He loved you enough to stand in your place and take all the punishment, to pour the wrath of God poured out upon him. He took our sins upon himself that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You can either have your righteousness, which is of the law, or you can have the righteousness of God, which is perfect. What's it going to be? I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. And those of you that are know for sure that you're saved, I'm just going to ask you to pray for those that are not sure. I know there's somebody here today that's not sure. I don't know your heart, but I know the odds and I know how things work. So I'm just going to ask you, if you don't have a time that you can look back to and know that you heard this and you understood it and you trusted Jesus to save you from your sins, right now where you are, just go to the Lord in your heart. Lord, your word is right. The law says I'm a sinner and I know I need you. So Jesus, I'm trusting you right here today, January the 18th, 2015. I am trusting you right here and right now to save me from my sins. That's not, dear Jesus, please help me. Dear Jesus, please save me. It's accepting what Jesus has already done. He died for you. Lord, I am trusting you today, right now, to save me from my sins. You send that up to the Lord from your heart, and you will walk out of this place a born-again child of God today. That's how everybody who is saved got saved, by placing their trust in Jesus to save them from their sins. And you could settle it right here and right now forever. You've done a really lousy job of keeping the commandments. So have I. Even if I'd done a better job, I'd still be in the same mess I'm in. But Jesus took me out of my mess by taking my sin upon him and giving his righteousness unto me. That's what he wants to do for you if you will simply trust him to save you. You can do it right where you stand. Coming up here won't change it, won't help you. If you're still confused about it, I will help you. And I'll do it privately where we can talk and you can understand. And I'll stay with you till you do understand. But don't leave this world without Jesus. It's the most foolish thing you could ever do, to leave this world without Jesus. We're going to sing one verse of an invitation. Maybe it's time for you to join the church. Maybe it's time for you just to get some things right with God. Maybe it's time for you to come and arrange a baptism if you're already saved and you haven't been baptized yet. Whatever that need is. One verse of an invitation right now as we sing.